Beginning our daf, assume a daf zayin. We begin on the second line from the top of the Amud, but the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara introduced a machlokes regarding if tumas hames, regarding if there's a tumah that emanates from a corpse, from a dead body, if that type of a tumah is hutra b'tzibur, is that totally permitted, that there's no qualms whatsoever to use to do the sacrifice in the state of tumah, or is it only d'chuyah b'tzibur, that if need be, then if we have an alternative, then we'll do it. But if there's any alternative, then we'd rather do it in the state of Tahara. That was introduced because of the Gemara's question that asked on our Mishnah, that why do we separate the Kohen Gadol from his wife 7 days before? Because he might contract tumas of a boil nida if it comes out that his wife was a nida, and then he'll be tumah for 7 days, and he won't be able to do that voida on Yom Kippurim. But then why do we let people visit him in the Lishkas Parhedrin? Someone might die, which will create a tumas hames, and then tumas hames is tumah for 7 days too, and that also create the problem of the Kohen Gadol not being able to do that voida on Yom Kippurim. So the Gemara gave two terutzim, which are totally in this machlokes if tumas hutra or d'chuyah b'tzibur. Either because tumas hutra b'tzibur, so we're not concerned about tumas hames specifically, not of a boil nida. Now, when it comes to karbanas tzibur, which is what the Kohen Gadol does the entire day of Yom Kippurim, we're not concerned about that. Or because, no, even if you say d'chuyah b'tzibur, and therefore it has the same valid concern as we have, but with him having relations with his wife, however, it's not so common for somebody to die while visiting the Kohen Gadol. That's why we're not concerned and we let people visit him. However, it is more common for him to be able to get the tumah of boil nida, and that's why we separate him from his wife. So that, again, was a machlokes that the Gemara quoted before between Rav Sheshes and Rav Nachman. If tumas hames is hutra b'tzibur, is it totally permitted, carte blanche, or is it d'chuyah b'tzibur, it's just that we push it if we have an alternative. So now the Gemara continues on this machlokes, and Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes says, to support his opinion, says, mina minila, from where do I know, to support my opinion, that tumah is only d'chuyah, it's only pushed away, pushed aside, so to speak, with difficulty, that if we have an alternative, but if we have an alternative, we do not do the avoid, even though it's carbon sibur in the state of tumah, unlike Rav Nachman's opinion. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. It says, if the Kohen was standing there and he was bringing the carbon of the Minchas Ha'omer, which was the barley offering that was brought from the new crop on the second day of Pesach, the Nitmis B'yada, and then that carbon of the Mincha became tummy in his hand. So Omer, the Kohen would say, come and bring another one in its place, because you're not allowed to bring something that's tummy as a carbon. You say and bring another one. Now, ve'im ain't shamelehi, if it was that type of year, or there was no other one to bring, so then only we tell the Kohen, have a pekech, be smart, ushtek, and be quiet. In other words, because again, even if it's tameh is allowed when it's coming regarding carbon tzibur. However, ketani mias, one thing we did learn, says Rav Sheshes, but Omer, initially the Kohen says, we bring another one in its place. Yes, if there's no other one, then we say be quiet, because everyone agrees on some level, tumah is allowed to be done in tzibur, which would be in this case of d'chuyah, which we have no alternative, there's no other one, then you bring it. But you see that it's not hutra, like Rav Nachman says, because you see that if it was hutra, then you wouldn't have to say, come and bring another one. You could just as easily bring a tummy one as a tar one. However, Rav Nachman would answer you that although he says that, yes, generally we say tumah hutra b'tzibur, it's totally permitted, but medina hecha de'ikishurayim lachila, I agree to you, in the case where there are leftovers from the carbon that are designated for eating purposes, that then yes, we'd prefer to have it done with a tar one if we could, and not a tummy one. And the reason is because although a carbon sibur, yes, can be brought in a state of tumah, and we're not concerned whatsoever, however, it cannot be consumed in the state of tumah. As the Gemara says in Perikei Tzitzon, the Masechet Pesachim, Daf Ayin Zayin Mabeis, that yes, it can be brought in the state of tumah according to everybody, whether it's hutra or d'chuyah, but according to everybody, it cannot be eaten. And therefore, regarding a minchas ha'omer, where there's a kemitza that's taken off, and then there's the rest that's left over that's eaten, where there would be a difference if it's brought in the state of tahara or tumah. Even if you say tumah for the avoda is hutra b'tzibur, but regarding the consumption, it would not be available. And therefore, we say yes, of course, it'd be an alternative to have a tahara one. We'd say, even according to Mir of Nachman says, to go get the tahara one, so that now the leftovers of that mincha could be consumed by the kahanim. The Gemara continues asking under Nachman's opinion. If the Kohen was bringing the flour offering, the mincha that comes along, they're called the minchas nesachim, with the parm, with the bulls, the elim and the rams, the kfasim and the lambs, v'nitmas b'yada, and then the mincha becomes tummy while he has it in his hand as he's about to be makriv it. So similar halacha omer, so the Kohen says, they bring another one in place of it so they can bring a tahar one. The main shamelehi, if there's no other one. So Emily, they tell him, look, have a bekech, be smart. Ushtay can be quiet, because even if it's tameh, everyone agrees on some level, if there's no alternative, you can go ahead and do it. Now, The Raya is to Rav Sheshes because my love, when aren't we talking about over here that what are these karbanis that they're karbanis tzibur, and therefore we're talking about parm, elam, mukvas, and the chag. We're talking about of different karbanis that come on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, which they are karbanis tzibur, and they have a set established time, which that's the criteria of tumah being either hutra or tchuyah b'tzibur. It has to have both that it's a carbon tzibur, it's a public carbon, it's for the public, not for an individual, and it has a set distinct time. And we find that the Minchas of Nesachim is only being doicha the Tama. Because we say that he says, and look, if it became Tama, he says, come and bring another one. So you see that obviously it's Duchuya, like Rav Sheshes says, not Hutra, because if it was Hutra, why do you have to go ahead and bring another one? If it became Tama, it's the same. Tama is Tahara, is the same thing, according to Rav Nachman. So why bring another one? And therefore, it's a question according to Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, I'm not going to tell you, like, the case of the Parim and the Elam and the Kvasim is not talking about a Yom Tov of Sukkos, which you're right, that would be a Karbet Tzibur, and it has a set time of when it's supposed to be on the Yom Tov of Sukkos, then yes, of course, you wouldn't say to bring another one. Rather, these cases of Parim, Elam, and Kvasim, he finds the Torah different types of Karbanos, which although they're on some level like a Karbet Tzibur, they're different, and they don't fit the criteria of having the Halach of Hutra Bet Tzibur, and therefore even Rav Nachman would agree that they're only Dechuya. And that is, if there's no other one, then yes, but if there's another one, you would go after the tar one. Because he explains, the case of Parm of the bulls is talking about par avodah zara. It's talking about when the public, when the rabbim of the Jewish people, when they do avodah zara, idol worship, then they have to bring a bull. Now that bull is a carbon oila, which requires nisachim. Now, sa'afagav the tzibur, although that is a carbon of the tzibur, but kivin de lekvile is man, since there's no set time, and there's no time, you can bring it today, tomorrow, you have to bring a carbon for the tzibur that did have a desire, but it doesn't have to be on this day. So then madrinan, then we look after a tahar one, because since it's only when we say that it's tzibur and a set time, then we say it's hutra. But if it's not, then we go after looking for her tar mincha. Elim, when we said regarding rams, we were talking about be'ilah shel Aaron. We were talking about the ram of Aaron that's brought on Yom Kippurim. Now, the avok of the kvileis man, although that does have a set time, because it has to be brought on the 10th of Tishrei in Mikipurim, but kivin the yachidu, since it's for an individual for Aaron, so madrinan. So again, although on some level it is a carbon tzibur, and therefore we will allow it if there's no other one, but since he is an individual, then madrinan, we do look after one that's turned. Therefore, oimer, that's what he says, and they bring him a new one. And regarding kvasim, regarding the lambs, that was talking about bekeves habom oimer. That was talking about with the lamb that comes with the carbon oimer, as it says in the pasuk of Yikra Perek of Gimel, va'asisim b'yom hanifchem es oimer, that you should do this on the day when you bring the oimer. Now that is a minchas. The minchas kvasim that we were talking about is not, as we had assumed, a minchas nesachim, which a minchas nesachim is totally brought on the mizbeach, is totally burnt. Rather, what we mean over here that it's the mincha, it's the lamb that comes with the oimer. We're talking about what mincha is that? That's the mincha of the Omer itself. Where the mincha of the Omer itself has a kmitza, has a fistful that's taken off, and that's brought on the mizbech. But the rest is eaten, as the Gemara says, the ikashrayim lachila, where there is leftovers for the consumption. So although it's a carbon simon that has a set time, that would usually fit the criteria, as Rav Nachman holds, of hutra, so why would we say by the kvasim you have to call another one if there's a tar available? Is because we're talking about a keves that comes with the carbon oimer. And the carbon oimer is the shirayim, the leftovers eaten, and that the Gemara already explained before that Rav Nachman agrees when there's leftovers, although tumah is hutra b'tzibur, or according to any opinion that tumah could be done regarding the avodah b'tzibur, but it cannot be consumed. And therefore, when there are leftovers to be able to be consumed, therefore we say, rather go ahead and do it with a tar one, even according to Rav Nachman, so that leftovers could be eaten, and therefore there's no difficulty according to Rav Nachman's opinion. So the Gemara continues asking Meisvei again another question on Rav Nachman's opinion that Tuma is Hutra B'tzibur, is totally permitted. We learn in the Braisa, Dam Shenitma V'Zarkai, regarding blood that became Tame and then they threw it. So the halacha is that generally the Dam has to be Tahar, and that the Braisa says, B'Shogeg Hurtzah, if it was done inadvertently, then it will be a Ritzui of the Tzitz that is Meratza on different Tumas in the Beis HaMikdash. However, if it was done intentionally, then there's no ritzui of the tzitz. The tzitz will not make it an appeasement for the tumah that was done here in the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, what that means is that essentially that's a rabbanon that made a knas, they made a penalty, that in such a case where it was done b'mezid, the meat cannot be consumed. However, the halacha is that the owners did have an atonement, that because if not, he would have to bring another carbon, and since midiraisa it is fit, even though it was done b'mezid, with the blood, as we find by Bishayik, there's no difference in Kavana, it's only a penalty of the Rabbanan, and we don't want him to bring another carbon, because then that would essentially be bringing Chulin to Azar, because it really wouldn't be a carbon, because Midereis really was Yetzah. But one thing that we see from this Braisa, which is difficult according to Rav Nachman, is that we see that obviously it's not Hutra. Because if it was Hutra, it was totally permitted, well then what's the problem with the fact that there was blood that was thrown in the state of Tumah, but we're talking about a carbon Tzibur. And the carbon Tzibur, who cares, B'shaygi B'mezid, there's nothing wrong that was done. It was totally permitted. So why do you need a Ritz of its sits in the first place? And therefore, it seems not like Rav Nachman. That the Gemara says, "Kitanya he." What was that price? It's Omad Yachid. It's Omad Carbon of Yachid. Carbon of Yachid. There's no heter according to any opinion to be doing it with a Tumas Mes. And therefore, there is where we require the Ritz of the Tzitz. And therefore, it has nothing to do with a question on Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman doesn't say Hutra on the case of a Yachid. Similarly, we learned Tashma. We learned in the Braisa again, not like Rav Nachman. It says Amahat Tzitz Miratzah. Regarding what is the Tzitz creating the appeasement, because it says in the Pasuk, B'nasa Aaron es avoyin HaKadoshim, it says in the Pasuk that Aaron will carry the sins of the sanctum, of the karbanos, of the things that are holy, which means to say that it will create an appeasement for the owners. Now, what was done wrong with the sin of the karbanos, that the tzitz, the plate that was worn on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, that it creates an appeasement? So the Braisa says, Al Adam regarding the blood, Bal Abasa regarding the meat, Bal Achilab regarding the fats, Shenitma that it became Tamei, Bein b'shoigig, bein b'mezah, whether inadvertently or whether deliberately. Bein b'oynis, bein b'ratzin, whether it was forcefully or whether it was willingly. Now, Rashi says, although willingly, essentially is the same as mezid. However, it's regarding the contrast of oynis and ratzin, where you have that difference, so that's why it uses that in contrast of the oynis, when it was someone that was forced to do it, which is not the same as shoigig. Bein b'yachid, bein b'tzibur, whether it was with an individual or whether it was with the tzibur, with the public. Now, from the fact that we see that's what the tzitz is meratza for all these cases of tuma, whether individual or even by the public. So obviously you see you need the tzitz to create a ritzui for tuma, even when there was betzibra. So obviously it's not hutra, because if it was hutra, you don't need any tzitz to be meratza. It's obviously that it was only that the tuma is only dochui, it's only dochui, it's only pushed away. And therefore, regarding the meat and the emurim that are brought on the mizbeach, even for the tzibur, you need the tzitz to be meratzah. So obviously that although we allow the tumma to be done in the case of a tzibur, but it's only with difficulty, and that's because it's only dechuyin. As much as we could find it to be done in the state of tahar, we would find it. And therefore it's only working through the medium of the ritz of the tzitz. As the Gemara says, because v'isaketaytech tumas heter hi b'tzibur, if you have, like Rav Nachman, the tumma is totally permitted, there's not even a problem regarding the tzibur, so then lama lila ratzuye, why do I need the tzitz to be meratze regarding a tumah in tzibur, which is what the Braisa said, bein b'yachid bein b'tzibur, but there's no problem. Why do I need a tzitz to be meratze? Tumah is the same as tahara, according to Rav Nachman, in the case of tumas mes. So that amalacha Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman would tell you, you're right. It's true. You don't need the tzitz of the tzitz for the tzibur. Kitani, hatzitz meratze. When did we say in the Braisa that the tzitz is being meratza ad yachid? It was going in the case of the yachid. In other words, although there are tumah regarding tzibur, when it was saying that the tzitz is being meratza, in that context, it was only going on individual, because for the tzibur, you don't need to reach the tzitz, there's no problem. V'ibayisem, and another teretz the Gemara gives is, I feel a tame of a tzibur. You could even say that the ritzi of the tzitz that the Braisa was talking about was even going on for the public. But then you have the question, but if tumah is hutra b'tzibur, why do you need to reach the tzitz? It was Toma Bahanich, and those types of karbanas, the loy kevilu uzman, they don't have a set time. As we said before, the only time that even Rav Nachman that holds Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur is only if it's a carbon tzibur, and it has a set time that has to be done now. These that don't have a set time, which there we don't say that it's Hutra B'tzibur, there is where we need to have the case of Ritzui of Tzitz, just like by Yachid, that is where we need to have the Ritzui of the Tzitz. So now the Gemara continues asking, this time it asks on the other opinion, that of Rav Sheshes, that he said Tumah is only Dechuyi B'tzibur, it's not totally permitted, it's only if we have no alternative, then we say you could do it in the state of Tumah. Because Mesve, we learned in the Braisa, there's a pasuk in Shemais that says, V'nasa Aharon es Avoyin HaKadoshim, that Aharon will carry, that's through the medium of the tzitz, the sins of the karbanos of the Kadoshim. Now the Braisa explores this pasuk. V'chi eza avin hunaisin, now which sin is the Kohen Gadol carrying, and that is that he's creating an atonement for a sin that's happening with karbanis. What is he creating a kashrus with through the tzitz? So the Braisa says, im avin pigel, if it's a reference to, which in the context of this brice and this halacha, it's a reference, although generally the term pigul is used for a machshava, that the kohen that's doing avoda is having the intent that it should be eaten outside of its designated time. In this context, pigul means out of its designated area, which is called pigul, as the Gemara in Zohar Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph explains. So are you going to say that it's in reference to chutz l'mkaymai, that if someone has that machshava, that there the tzitz will be meratza? But that can't be. Harikva nema lo yiratza. It already says in the pasuk, which it says pigul hu lo yiratza, which the Gemara again in Masechta Zvachim says that in this context it means chutz l'mkaymai, that it says it will not be considered appeased, that it will be willful, and therefore it can't be going there, because the pasuk explicitly says that it won't be considered a good carbon. V'im av naiser, and if you think it's going regarding, which although generally naiser means things that were left over, in this context it means that if someone had the machshava with the intention to eat it out of its proper time, which in other contexts is usually used with the term of pigul, if you think it's going regarding that, that the tzitz will be meratz on that, but harikvan nema lo yichashim, the other pasuk already says hamakrev oiser lo yichashim, that will not be considered. And again, as the Gemara Masechta Zvachim there explains, that it's going chutz lezmanoi. So you can't say that the tzitz is being meratza then, when the pasuk explicitly says regarding both these things of machshava chutzim kaimah chutzazmane, that they're not going to be considered accepted and valid kabbanas. So therefore the Gemara continues on to Amud Beis. Sa ha. So by default, what you're left with is that ein enoise el avin tama. The one thing that the tzitz is going to be meratza on is the sin of when a carbon is done in a state of tuma. Now, on that is what the Bryce is explaining. So what is the difference between tum and the other things of chutz l'mkayim and chutz l'zmanai that we're being lenient regarding it, and that is a tzitz will be meratz in it? That's because we find a different leniency regarding tumma in contrast to the other ones. Shehutra mechlola b'tzibur, because we find that the tumma is totally permitted when it comes to the tzibur, which we don't find there be other invalidations. As we were saying all along, that tumma is allowed in the tzibur. Now, since we find that one leniency, therefore we apply another leniency regarding tumma, which is that the tzitz would be meratza even when it's done in the karban yachid, that although that was a sin, the tzitz is being meratza on that. Now, but one thing we see is that the term of the braisa is saying that it's hutra b'tzibur. So we see that it's totally permitted, not just dachui, and therefore the Gemara says, v'kash lev sheshes, that's a difficult quote, rev sheshes, who he said that it's only dach, it's only pushed away, but it still would also, on some level, let's say, need the medium of the ritz of the tzitz, and therefore it's not the same as hutra b'tzibur as the braisa is saying it. Now the Gemara says, Tanoihi, it's a machlokes Tanoim, these two opinions are of Sheshes and of Nachman. And therefore it's not difficult in either one, because they say like the other opinion. The Tanoik learned the Braisa. Tits, there's a different machlokes which the Gemara will relate and say that it's dependent on the same machlokes of Nachman of Sheshes. The Braisa says that regarding the Tits, Bein Sheyeshna Metzre, whether it's on the forehead of the Kayan Gadol at the time when the Tumma happens regarding the carbon, whether even at that time when the tuma happened it wasn't on his forehead, either way Miratza, the tzitz will create an atonement even if it's not on his forehead at that time. Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Behudai Mehi argues, says Ideo al Metzchay Miratza, if at the time the tuma is happening, so then, so to speak, the tzitz is in active duty, it's on the kohen gadol's forehead, then it will create an atonement, an appeasement. Eino de al Metzchay Miratza, if at that time the tzitz was not in service, it wasn't on the kohen gadol's forehead, then it will not create an atonement, an appeasement for that tuma. So on that amale, Rabbi Shimon responded to Rabbi Yehuda. He says, kohen gadol b'yom kippurim yichyach. I'll prove to you from the kohen gadol on yom kippurim that I'm right and you're wrong. Because she'eino de'al metzchai, when the kohen gadol is doing the avoda on yom kippurim, inside in the kadshei kadshim, that is, when he's not wearing the tzitz on his forehead at that time, because when the Kohen Gadol does the avodah lefnai v'lefnim inside the kodesh kodashim in Yom Kippurim, he only wears the dal begadim that a kohen hadid wears, which does not include the tzitz, which is part of the regular shemayin begadim of the Kohen Gadol. And yet, umaratza, still there is an atonement, there is an appeasement for the tuma that would happen at that time, and therefore you see that it's even when you don't wear it that it creates an atonement. So, I'm like Rabbi Yehuda responded to Rabbi Shimon. He says, "Wait, hanach le Kohen Gadol b'Yom Kippurim. There's no rayas from there." Leave alone the case of a Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim, Shetuma Hutra Loi B'Tzibur. All the Avodah that the Kohen Gadol is doing in Yom Kippurim are in the category of a Karban Tzibur. Therefore, you don't need the Tzitz. You're right, there would be a Ritzah of Tuma if it happened in Yom Kippurim. Oh, but you're telling me, but he's not wearing the Tzitz, so how is it creating an appeasement? You don't need an appeasement because Tuma is Hutra B'Tzibur. Even if Tuma happened, there's no problem whatsoever. You don't even need the Tzitz. But if you needed the Tzitz, you're right, it would only work if it was on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol. or of any for any tumah that happens. So on that, the Gemara infers michlal. But one, so that was what Rabbi Yehuda responded to Rabbi Shimon. But obviously, the Rabbi Shimon saw tumah tchuyi b'tzima. But obviously, we can infer that Rabbi Shimon held that tumah is only pushed away, and that is you do need the ritzui of the tzitz, and that's why he said, "I could prove to you from the Kohen Gadol that when he's going inside and he's not wearing it, and still there's the ritzui." And the reason why he needs a ritzui is because he holds, even though they're all kabbalah tzibur, but tumah is only the chuyi b'tzibur, and you have to work through the medium of the tzitz. And therefore, he said that obviously you see that even if it's not on his forehead, it will create the ritz of the tzitz. And therefore, that is the machlekes tanoim that we were referencing before. It's the machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon in a different context, but from there we see that they're arguing about the same yisai, the same fundamental principle. If the kabbalahs of tzibur require tchuya, it's only pushed away, or it's even hutra, it's totally permitted. And therefore, for example, like according to Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, you don't need to have the ritzah of the tzitz whatsoever, because although it only worked when it's on his forehead, but it's kabbalahs of tzibur that have a special time of Yud Tishrei, and you don't need to have the ritzah of tzitz, because tum is hutra b'tzibur. Now, I'm Abaya. Abaya says something separated, not related to what we were discussing before, but rather to clarify this machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. He says, "Benishbar hatzitz, if the tzitz is broken, the kulam aloy pligi delemratzis." So no one argues that it will not create an atonement, an appeasement. Although Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't have to be in his forehead, but if it's broken, then it will not work. Ki pligi detal besichsa. Their machlokes is regarding if it's hanging on a peg. That Rabbi Yehuda saw, Rabbi Yehuda held. And this is based on how to interpret the pasuk in Shemayis in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Lamaches, and the pasuk says as follows: it says V'hoya Metzach Aaron, the tzitz will be on the forehead of Aaron. Nasa Aaron is avoyin hakadoshim, and Aaron will carry the sin of the sanctified items to the karbanos. Asher yikdishu b'nei Yisrael l'chol matnas kachem. V'hoya Metzach Aaron will be on his forehead, tamid, constantly. L'rotzin lehem lefnei Hashem, it will be in appeasement. It will be willingful for them in front of Hashem. Now, on that we have a machlekes, how to interpret, how does the tzitz work? So Yehuda holds, it says in the pasuk, am metzach, that it's on the forehead, and then it says v'nasa, and that it will carry. So since it says that it will be on his forehead, and then it will carry this in the kachem, you see that when it's on his forehead, it works. When it doesn't, when it's not on his forehead, it doesn't work. However, Reb Shimon holds, look at the end of the pasuk. It says, tamid l'ratzin, it will constantly be an appeasement. Lifnei Hashem, in front of Hashem. Now, he clarifies his opinion. He says, my tamid, when it says at the end of the pasuk, what does it mean tamid? Now, there's really two ways you could learn tamid. It could either be going on the words before it, v'hoya al mitzchei tamid, it should constantly be on his forehead. And then, when it's on his forehead, then l'ratzin lehem l'fnei Hashem, then it will be a willingness, it will be a considered appeasement in front of Hashem. Or it could be going in the last part of the pasuk, which is v'hoya mitzchei, it should be on his forehead. Tamid l'ratzin lehem l'fnei Hashem will always be an atonement for them in front of Hashem. So, and that is what Reb Shimon clarifies. He says, what does tamid mean? Ilema tamid al metzchei, if it's like the way Rabbi Yehuda would have to interpret it, would seem like that it's constantly on his forehead, and then when it's on his forehead, then it's in an appeasement in front of Hashem. But mi mishkachas lo, is it possible for the Kohen Gadol to always be wearing it on his forehead? Mi lo boyimei lebeis hakiyus, doesn't have to go to the bathroom. Mi lo boyimei, doesn't have to go to sleep. Ela tamid meratzehu, rather the word tamid is going in the second half of the pasuk. And that is, it's constantly an appeasement, and therefore, even if it's not on his forehead. So the Gemara asks, "Will Rabbi Yehuda not accept tamid? What does Rabbi Yehuda do with tamid? It can't be going on the first half, as Rabbi Shimon just demonstrated, because he can't always be wearing it. He can't take it into the lavatory. He can't wear it when he's sleeping." So now the Gemara answers, "Hahu tamid? What does it mean that it should be tamidis? Ishlo yisiach daitiv mino." You're right. He's not wearing it at all times. But it means to say that he should never remove his thought process from the tzitz. As the Gemara explains, that k'dirabba barav huna, dam rabarav huna, chayv odim lamashmesh b'tfilov b'chol shabasha. A person has to constantly be touching his tefillin at every moment. We say different psukim, pesach chesidecha, umaspil chal chayrutz. A person should always be touching it. And as the Gemara says, kavacha mitzitz, because that we learn from kavacha mitzitz, from the tzitz, which the Kohen Gadol wore, we continue on top of chesem et alf, because if the tzitz, this plate wore on the forehead of the Kohen Gadol, which only had one name of Hashem, said Kodesh Lashem, and yet Amr Torah, still the Torah says, which is how Rabbi Yehuda is interpreting the pasuk, like Rabbi Barav Huna, that it says al mitzchei tamid, And so we see that it is going on the words al-metzchai, that it should be constantly on his forehead. Now, we said it can't be that he's always wearing it because he has to go to the bathroom and go to sleep. But what does it mean it should constantly be on his forehead? It means to say shleyesir daitim, and he shouldn't remove his thoughts from it. It should always be there, and that is he should always be there with it in the constant thought. So therefore, tefillin shiyosh bahen askaras harbet, the tefillin to have many names of Hashem. Allah has come and become, it doesn't make sense that for sure a person should not be masiach das, not lose focus of the fact that he's wearing it, just like the tzitz has to be always on his forehead, which means that he has to be aware of it. That's what tamid means to say. The tefillin also has to be that you should always be aware of it, and that's why we're constantly touching the tefillin as a reminder that it's on our arms and on our heads, that we should be constantly aware of it, and therefore that's how he would resolve the question from Rabbi Shimon, that although Rabbi Shimon is saying it's going, that it's always an appeasement, even when it's not on his forehead, says no, Rabbi Yehuda says only when it's on him. The tamid is going on that he shouldn't be masiach das from the tzitz.